Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week is a bit of a nautical special with fast crafts, cancelled boats, and cruise ships on the agenda. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Sam Turton.
Hello.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
I try and do that slower and slower every week because it draws it out, Katie. Do you, have you noticed that?
Because my name's not long enough already.
No, fair, fair point. Good week, chaps.
Yeah, very good. I can't really think of what actually happened this week.
Well, there wasn't any pancakes this week, so it's probably not as exciting, but there you go.
Yeah, I think that's probably what
Katie, good
is.
Week, yeah?
Yeah, good week, busy week.
Sam?
Yeah, been a decent week. Yeah.
Cheltenham, of course, this week on the adjacent aisle.
Yeah, I need to stop backing favourites because two of them have fallen at the fence, as it were.
Oh, dear. It's obviously the Gold Cup as we speak. So
what a great time to record.
We can blame producer Emma for that one. To quote famed parachute pants wearer, Vanilla Ice, nonetheless, all right, stop, collaborate and listen. Ice is back with a brand new... It actually inventions, but it should be addition.
I think addition.
Addition.
But we should change it
podcast.
To "We are back with a brand new addition."
He is a lyrical genius. I've got the lyrics in front of me. Will it ever stop? Yo, I don't know. He's so deep as well, isn't he?
I'm beginning to feel like it never will.
Deadly when I play a dope melody. I don't think I said that quite right. Anything less than the best is a felony. You love it or leave it. You better gangway. That's amazing. Gangway.
Gold.
Gangway leads us on to our first story.
About
fast crafts. Sam has his head in his hands, not for the first time today. So, Sam, fast crafts or not so fast crafts? That is the question.
Yeah, we've had the Steam Packet new user agreement called the Sea Services Agreement. It was published last week. It's going to go before Timwald this month. And within it, there's a few interesting little developments: increased services across to the northwest of England, decrease of services to Ireland. But the most interesting thing is the replacement of the boats. Mm-hmm. The Benmacree, our flagship, will be replaced within 3 years at the latest, probably within about just under 3 years by the end of 2021. And the Monaghan is due to be replaced by 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because they said that first of all, there's no guarantee it'll be a new boat. The Benmacree will be, but the Monaghan may not be. It just has to be less than 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And they're toying with the idea of, instead of having an actual fast craft, to be a fast but conventional ferry. So, like...
How's that different to the Benmacree? Because that's a conventional ferry, isn't it? Mm. But not a fast conventional ferry. Pardon my ignorance in the...
Well, actually, the Benmacree is a Ropax ferry.
A Ropax ferry?
Which is roll-on, roll-off
like
with passengers.
And
the Monaghan is a catamaran fast craft.
Yeah.
The largest of its size, of course, in the Irish Sea, as we all know from Alex Brindley's information video at the start.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But what they're saying is that they don't know whether to replace it with a new fast craft or to replace it with what would be. So sort of like, I suppose you've got to look at maybe like Irish Sea ferries, them sort of things. So like, they're not ferries, that they're slow, they're quite quick, but they're still more conventional. And
so my question would be, if we're going to get a conventional ferry to do the routes serviced by the fast craft, there's a new ferry terminal being built in Liverpool, would this conventional craft be able to dock there as it's, you know, it's always been a fast craft berth? The conventional craft's always been a Birkenhead, hasn't it?
The new one is being built for to be able to build a ship up to 142 metres, known as the Hessian Max. I spent months on this. And what it basically means is that it can take any vessel that will serve the Isle of Man, it will also be able to serve Liverpool. Mm. So, for instance, at the minute, if this is what... It won't be interesting to anyone but me, I imagine. But when Pierhead is currently... It's at, towards the end of its life. If that is no longer usable before the new one at Prince's Dock is open, they don't know where the Monaghan's going to go, because it cannot dock on the Birkenhead side, because it's got issues of currents. Like the Benmacree, it has to keep itself running to stay on that side, because it's not... It's quite a strong current on that side of the river. So when they replace it, it will be able to take anything, so you won't have that problem. But what they're saying is that, despite a massive public opinion saying they wanted the fast craft, the feeling is that people also said they wanted a more comfy experience, mm-hmm. which you'll see with the Monaghan's going to be refitted at some point in the next couple of years. And what they're saying with that is that if they give people a more cruise-like service, whatever. I don't know if that means they're going to have cabaret, who knows. But, you know, so their argument seems to be if they say that, they could have a less quick but still reasonably fast. It's a bit of to be honest.
Is it about, like, comfort, then?
Yeah. Let's pose the question, then. I know you've done it in the Vox Pop, and I can't remember which one of you did it that week, but what change would you make to our rolling stock, for want of a better phrase? What would make your ferry experience better, Jess?
I really don't like how they put dividers in between the seats. That really frustrates me, because I like a bit of space, but I feel like they've kind of...
That would be the one thing you would change.
No, that's just the one thing that, like, pops into my head. But yeah, no, I think I'd prefer something a bit faster, because I think even 3 hours is...
Well, you're quite quick driver.
No, but you've got the problem of the River Mersey there. The boat can do it a lot quicker than that, but there's a speed limit on the River Mersey, which restricts the speed of... And because we're the only ones who take a boat up that speed, it has to really slow down quite a lot. Which is why if you look at it, you get to... What's the beach there?
New Brighton, is it?
When you get to there, it's about 40-odd minutes up the river. Mm-hmm. Whereas it used to be able to do it in about 20 minutes before they put this restriction on. Because the Sea Cat Isle Man used to do it in about 2.5 hours, didn't it? This is a far quicker boat. So that's part of the problem there, is the restriction on the River Mersey.
That makes sense. But what is the speed restriction then, do you know?
I don't know what it is miles per hour, I know it does... It does slow it down considerably.
How much is it going to cost? Like, for me as a passenger, because if I can fly to Liverpool with EasyJet for cheap and 20 minutes, what kind of offers and prices will they be giving people to get over there?
Well, if you read the Examiner, it'll be able to tell you about the offers and prices that are going to be there. They're having a price freeze until the Bembury Cruise is replaced, and there's going to be more offers on foot passengers and... hopefully with cars and stuff moving forward, but again, that's all in the Examiner, and in fact it was in the Courier last week as well. So
I suppose, like, transporting your car is just ridiculously overpriced, but I think individually, if you're going to be a foot passenger, it's not too bad.
It's interesting, actually, when you look at the figures for it. I know people say it is, but when you break it down, people always make this thing about saying, like, of Irish ferries and all this, but you got to remember how many more passengers they're taking, and it's a different sort of vessel. And it's the same with people say about the Channel, how much cheaper it is there, but it's about a quarter of the distance. So, you know, it is all quite... I know what people look at it and say, but when you actually look at the reports behind it, it isn't... I can't believe I'm sitting here standing up for the steam packet, but there we go.
Well, talking of the steam packet, of course, we have been hit by Hurricane Gareth. Storm Gareth. I think I may have over-egged his wind by saying it was a hurricane, but it was Storm Gareth, and that, of course, disruption to the sailings this week, Jess.
Yeah, that's right.
So and we had the usual people standing, pictures on Instagram of people standing in front of empty shelves, pointing, and Tesco's and ShopRite.
Looking very sad, forlorn.
But they shouldn't have been panicking, should they?
No, absolutely not. And this has actually been said by the Manx farmers and producers, who say there's plenty of produce here that's fresh and able to access it pretty easily. Mm. So we spoke to... Robinson's Fresh Foods, and we spoke to Brian Redcliffe of Bri Rad's Fresh Veg Shed.
Brian, of course, is a tremendous picture of him on the front of the Independent this week.
Oh, he's a cracker, honestly. You have a conversation with that guy, and he really makes you want to go out of your way to definitely buy Manx veggies.
Did you?
No, I haven't yet. But he's just got that enthusiasm for, like, vegetables that you just... It's unreal. He's based on the quay side of Ramsey, so those guys up there are well looked after. But there are also some farmers markets around the place. So I spoke to the chairman of Isle of Man Farmers Market, Sheila Gorn, and she was basically echoing what he said. You know, they've got loads of stuff. I mean, it's seasonal, but they've got, like, potatoes, broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, beetroots, rhubarb, you name it. There's quite a lot, actually, out there.
I read your article, which was in the Indy this week, and there's five farmers markets around the Isle of Man now, as it's gone up from two
that used to be. That's right.
And as you were saying, you can buy loads of stuff from there. Mm. I saw a few bits on social media this week. People are actually like, well, okay, we'll go and have a look at it. And now, actually... think they're gonna—that's the route they're gonna go down instead of going into the big chains and buying their produce from there.
I was speaking to Sheila, and she said there's so many benefits. Not only is there where your food's coming from, and you can also ask the producer or the grower what's been included, what's in those ingredients, I suppose. You can also cut down on your like food mileage, mm-hmm. so your carbon footprint is lower. But then I suppose also with...
Less plastics?
Yeah, I was about to get to that. Yeah, so, you know, everything comes up... Well, not everything. A lot of things are wrapped up in that cling filmy stuff in Tesco and other places. So you'll be cutting down on that too.
That all sounds good. Katie, we've talked about your man in a van in a car park with his meat before.
Yeah.
Would you consider buying vegetable from him as well?
I mean, if alongside my meat van there was going to be a vegetable van, I'd be sending my dad there to get
the vegetable man
to get the broccoli fixed. Definitely.
Quick poll. Favorite vegetable, Sam?
Carrot.
Broccoli.
I like both of them.
Is that broccoli? It's not just between just broccoli and carrot. Any vegetable in the world.
But those are the two that
broccoli,
I thought straight away.
Broccoli's quite
broccoli's versatile and distinctive taste.
Yeah, it can go in the bin, go in the
ground. No! There's also I don't know what it's called, but it's like got longer stalks.
The long-stemmed broccoli.
Those ones are really nice. And the purple as well, which makes it even more exciting.
So go on.
I don't know what it's called, but... I'd say probably broccoli, actually. Yeah.
I like courgette too. Is that
I don't like courgette.
Just vegetable. Yeah.
I'm going to go sweet potato. I like sweet potato.
Good shout.
It's a fad.
Do you like them as chips?
No, I'll tell you what is a fad. Avocado.
No.
Yeah. My wife flipping loves it. And so I have it on everything.
Avocado is brilliant.
Like that's fad. That's
it always looks to me like people having baby food on toast.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Apparently...
you're both wrong.
So I think we could maybe conduct some sort of poll on our social media. What's your favourite vegetable?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
But broccoli winning at the moment. I would never have called that, would you, Sam?
Nah.
Right, changing the topic completely, we move on to blacksmiths in Laxey. And over to you, Jess, again.
Okay, so blacksmith Alan King, he's based in Laxey. It's just near the train station, I believe.
Tram.
Oh, sorry. he's said that he's been forced out of his workshop, which he has been at since 1993. So 26 years, right? I don't know. Maths is not my forte. he received a letter from the Department of Infrastructure, which is his landlord, and they gave him notice to quit. Because they said that the department requires the premises for staff of the Manx Electric Railway. He's very disappointed. He said, I love my job and it's such a shame, it hurts. Mm. So quite emotive language there. This guy, he specialises in making like TT plaques and replica railway nameplates.
Sorry, TT what?
Plaques.
Plaques. Plaques and recreation.
It's sounding very like southern, like plaques.
Yeah. So posh plaques. Yeah.
Very posh. And he exports all around Europe. So yeah.
I did notice there was a comment from the Department of Infrastructure. They were saying that they're actually looking to turn the space into a small transport museum. And they have offered him alternative accommodation within Laxey and elsewhere.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah, because I think they. We're planning to have him out in May, but he's extended it till November.
So the full story is in this week's Examiner.
Page 6,
and wonderfully written by Adrian Dobbs.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Now, to get back onto this high sea, Sam. So we've discussed the fast crafts, or lack of fast crafts, or the reasonably quick... conventional ferries and such like. We've discussed the boats being cancelled this week. Now for the third punch in our three punches. That doesn't even make sense, does it? I couldn't think of a nautical metaphor there. It's about cruise ships and a possible new berth in Douglas, isn't it?
Well, we're looking at this. I mean, the tide is high when it comes to news on the seas this year.
The tide is high and the interest is low.
Right. Anyway, right. So, this all goes back to the government's harbour strategy, which we've covered in extensive detail since it came out last March. We've done various bits on it. And it comes about the island's growing cruise ship industry.
Mm-hmm. It's something they've been trying to grow for the last sort of 5-10 years now.
Yeah, and we see it every year. You know, you tend to get it some point throughout the year. We always have that. We've had more cruise ships, we've had more people coming ashore. There's more cruise ships booked in again for this year. I think we've got the first one has either just been or is coming soon.
Okay. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Well, you do, don't you? Because you always see the cruise ship.
Like, big boat in the bay.
Yeah, literally. Because I come in along the Glencutchery Road in the morning. So I was like, oh, big boat today.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And then plough your Renault into the park, into the stock car in front. Mr. Turton, what caused the accident? Oh, well, I saw that it was the first cruise ship. In the... Did you know that's a Ropax?
So anyway, so what they're...
So
they've got two plans, haven't they? There's two plans.
Yeah, there's two options. So one is to go on the outside of the Victoria Pier.
Yeah, so the Victoria Pier, for the uneducated.
That is where the Menannan berths.
Yes.
Not as the other side, which is the King Edward Pier, which is the only pier named after...
a king. Or a potato.
It was only pier named after King Edward the 7th or 8th, who was the one who abdicated. It's the only public facility in the entire British Isles.
You've told me that before.
I love that little fact. So anyway, so it'd be on the outside of the Vic, and they would go, they'd dredge that area, and we'd be able to have bigger cruise ships than we have now.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that in this area, you see, right, this has gone back to the size of boats again, but the cruise ships that are being built for the British Isles are getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The only ones that are being built the size that we'd be able to accommodate are the ones that are going more Antarctic and the Arctic sort of cruises, which are getting bigger and bigger. But the cruise ships that come around here are sort of there getting towards the end of their life, this has been discussed in a Timwell committee in the past couple of weeks. And what they're saying is that we could look at bigger ones to bring in bigger cruise ships up to 240 metres. So for a rough estimate, that would be about 100 metres longer than the potential new Ben McCree could be.
Wow, it's a big...
So we're talking big. And this would go on the outside of the Princess Alexandra Pier.
Yes.
Now, does anybody know where that actually is?
So that's the one that looks like it's just been thrown together, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the breakwater sort of thing.
Where people fish off the back.
Yeah, because you look at it and you go, but that's the battery pier, but that's the inside. This is on the outside, apparently.
I have learned so much about piers in the last few minutes. I don't know about you guys. So
I had no idea you were this excited by modes of transport.
Oh, you should
get... The look on your face is so happy right now.
Just wait until I get a good train story. I'll be off and away.
Okay.
So anyway,
so they're gonna. So the plan is to get these bigger boats, as Roy Schneider would say.
And what they're gonna do
they're gonna dredge
the area, and they're gonna put another breakwater on the outside.
Yeah. Can never have too many.
So it'll create like a little port that the boat can drive into and reverse out, and off it goes.
Yep.
And that'll be for day cruise ships to stop here, but we'll be able to access a bigger market, which is part of our obviously ongoing attempts to continue to build the island's tourism.
Correct.
If it's the Victoria one, it's likely to cost, I think it's about $11 million, which would be government money.
And I think part of that's already been agreed to.
Agreed it, but now they've got this idea to do the Alexandria, and it looks more like that'll be private investment.
Yeah.
So similar to how you got Ramsey Marina, it'll be companies will be offered the opportunity to tender it, build it, and run it.
Thinking out of the box. You put your face on the breakwater. If you said, "I'll put $5 million in for the breakwater," you could have a bit of the section of the breakwater with your face on or something like. Welcome to the Isle of Man. You know?
Big picture of me with a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I tell you what, right?
We do a GoFundMe. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's get
go face me.
Go face me. Let's try and get Sam's picture on this new breakwater. How much do you reckon it would cost us?
Oof.
If it's $40 million for the whole scheme,
yeah,
we just want a bit of it, don't we? So we don't need $40 million's worth.
Couldn't we just find a local graffiti artist?
No, we'll do this the right way. We'll use social media and a GoFundMe page like everyone else and get it done.
Yeah. Okay, right. I reckon if we just painting it on, or we want the whole thing.
Well, it's good to stand the weather, hasn't it?
Right. I reckon we need about probably 5 to 10 million.
5 to 10 million.
Well, you've got influential followers on Twitter.
I do, yeah.
So maybe you can get them
I've got a new follower this week as the podcast.
Is that two now?
Well, yeah, I've got two influential, but I've got a extremely influential follower this week. I've got Howard Quayle.
He added me today.
Oh. Take it away from Sam.
Sorry, Sam.
Why do people always steal my thunder? He's also following
just
the podcast.
Think about it.
Hello, Mr. Chief Minister. Welcome aboard.
So,
should we find out who he followed first?
No, let's not. If you are listening, though, Mr. Quayle, and you think we could, if this is a possible, just let us know so we can kickstart the GoFundMe page.
I'm willing to negotiate. I'll post my own pictures.
Yeah.
You know that? Yeah.
I think that's something we could really get behind. So yeah, so this is going to be, when's the sort of decision going to be made on which way we go down?
I imagine it'll come forward in the next year, looking at it, because you got to remember these sort of things. It's still an exploratory stage that they're looking at. So while the money to modernise the harbour and spend a bit more in there is being agreed and what, to an extent, what they're going to do, but this will be something that will have to be looked at again and again. And this goes through committees. I mean, there's been 3 committees on this in the past. Well, 1 committee, but looked at it 3 different times in the past sort of few months that I've been to and covered. So I could see this
going on for a while.
Yeah.
And I know the part of why it is dragging through the committees is because there is a lot of money to spend on. And they're saying that potentially we'd only get maybe 2 boats a year or something like
well,
that.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's a potential risk, but we've got to look at it. If, you know, the island wants to do it, we've got to be innovative and ride the crest of the wave and all that. Yeah.
Build it and they will come, as Kevin Costner once famously said. Sports stories, talking of sport, because that was a baseball film, I call Field of Dreams. Have you seen that, Jess?
No, the look on her face is saying no.
She's gone over my
it's
head.
It's probably saying, who is Kevin Costner? She doesn't
Waterworld
know.
Waterworld would have been a better reference this week, wouldn't
you
it?
You must have seen Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Saying yes, but that's a look of, yeah, just shut up now.
It's one that I watched when I was younger. I wouldn't be able to, like...
So you don't know who Kevin Costner is?
No.
Do you know who Kevin Costner is, Sam?
Yeah.
What other films has he been in?
Kate, I hope. It's been in lots of films.
He's an Oscar-winning director, isn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he win an Oscar for, like...
Bodyguard?
Oh, you'll know him from Bodyguard. Which
one was that?
You're thinking the BBC drama now. This
I am. With Richard Madden.
We've gone off piece spectacularly, as always. But, we'll show you a picture of Kevin Costner later.
Thank you.
But, yeah, so he famously Field of Dreams, baseball film. Continuing with the sports theme, my sports story of the week, something close to your heart, Jess.
Very close.
Netball, the island's under-17 netball team were in action in the Europe Challenge last week in Gibraltar.
Mm.
The Rock.
Yep.
Have you seen the film The Rock?
That's a fantastic film. We've got, it's like Sean Connery, Nick Cage, Chemical Weapons and Alcatraz.
It's amazing.
Okay, that's
and
intense.
Michael Bay. You don't need anything else. And Sean Connery gives the whole.
So it's got nothing at all to do with Gibraltar or netball. That's why I brought it up. So the Ironman, we were playing against Malta, Switzerland, Ireland, Gibraltar, and I think they came third. Losing Swiss, we're on a roll.
The only non-Ireland team?
Swiss. What?
What? They were the only... Why was everyone else from an island?
Because it's a European challenge, Katie. So Switzerland is in
they
Europe.
Get to be in it.
Yeah.
I just thought it was just a coincidence all the others are small islands.
Republic of Ireland.
Ireland. Yeah.
Ireland's an island.
Yeah, it's quite a big one.
Yeah,
it's still an island.
I'm not getting that right. Yes, yesterday. I didn't realise it was Ireland is an island.
What?
He had to explain it to me.
No, because it's that thing about how you don't refer to it as Ireland, you have to call it the Island of Ireland if you're referring to the landmass. Right, back to the sport.
Sorry.
So they finished third in Gibraltar. They did very well. It's the second time they've been competing at this level. They played in Dublin last year, and I think they finished third in that competition as well. But, of course, this leads in lovely to the senior side of playing in the Netball Europe Challenge. Open Challenge. As though it's Challenge and Open, you just stick them in where you want. That's in the NSC in May, when we'll be hosting teams from across Europe.
Mm.
Jess, are you going to watch that?
Yeah, I think.
I think we could do a podcast from that. It'd be quite good.
That's a good idea, yeah. Yeah, I don't know where they can get the tickets, but I think it's...
It's on Bright. If you look onto the Manx Netball Association website...
Yeah, I think
Netball,
it's like £50
for the weekend, yeah. But it does go on to Thursday to Sunday, and it's £15 per session otherwise, and it's cheaper for kids, obviously.
Mm.
But yes, that takes place in May the 9th it starts.
Yeah.
You going to watch that, Katie? You're
no.
A bit of a sports
fan? No, I will go. I'll go if Jess is going.
Yeah, come on.
Not long.
Sam? It's such a good sport to watch.
Yeah.
Probably not. Yeah,
but it leads up to the actual World Cup is in Liverpool in July as well.
So, but good luck.
Big year for Liverpool. Nice to have you along there, Sam. Right, Sam.
You could take a boat over.
We go from netball to hardcore porn and this week in history.
Yep.
You did hear me right. I did just say hardcore pornography.
Yep. We have only taken a short hop this week back in time.
Yeah, we barely put the DeLorean in first here, have we?
No, but you know, sometimes you've got to look at the archive that is just 3 feet to your right. so we've gone back to March 14th, 2013. And the front cover that hit was Hardcore Porn in Book for Kids.
Yes, that was the headline. And it was also a story about good news for Steve Packett, so our nautical theme does continue. And there's a lovely picture of them there. I've seen that's a John Mandrill special. But back to the pornography. And it's none of us, obviously I was working here, a couple of the other guys were, and we can't remember this story, but it's an absolute...
Adrian remembered it. Yeah. He thought it was very funny.
Story. Yeah, so if, go on, you take the story up, as it were.
So it was a fantasy novel that had been published as part of a hospice fundraiser, and it had to be withdrawn from sale after some copies were accidentally printed with extracts of hardcore pornography.
Yeah, about 20 pages of adult material were found in these books. A long time after they'd been on general sale, I thought.
Isn't that, in stage terms, isn't that known as like something for the dads when you say family entertainment?
But yeah, so it was a printing error. Had led to these extracts from two graphic novels. Not graphic novels. Graphic novels.
They were a bit graphic.
They were graphic, but a graphic novel is a comic, isn't it? Also like a comic.
It's the names of these extracts.
I've just read the names.
Yeah. Right, you go on, Jess. You tell us.
Okay. So one was from the halls of Montezuma. And the other one, I think this is a favourite of ours, is Tasting... Tasting Chantel.
Now, you have to feel sorry for not only the hospice, but obviously the author as well, because it was an error.
That would be a shock.
Yeah, he said it felt like he was in a car crash when he found out. But yeah, so unfortunately, there was this fantasy novel had 20 pages of these.
Absolutely love that quote though.
Go on.
From the when they said the author jumped in his car and went over to the lady who had brought this to people's attention, and she said that she was just upset that she couldn't find out what had happened in his story.
And we should also point out that was page 472.
Oh gosh! Oh,
wow. So it was obviously a long book.
He would have
book,
been committed by then, and then boom.
Yeah. the US printer wrote and apologised sincerely the unintentional error and explained that a mistake on the press had resulted in no more than 6 copies of the hardback edition being printed containing this erroneous insert from a book targeted for the adult fiction market. So has anyone read any of those books?
I couldn't say I haven't.
You're a keen reader, Katie. No? Tasting Chantel, not popping on your Kindle. Or...
That's why I'm reading a Kindle in the kitchen, so you can't see the spine and the name of the book. No, I've not read either of those.
Oh, the fantasy novel, which is called Otherworld as well, is I presume still available. The other stories that week which were promoted, Sam?
I really want to know more about the one on the top left, which is why couple were not allowed into Tenerife.
Isn't that the good sign of a good promote?
Yeah, like I would turn straight to page 3 for that.
Page 3. The other one was Crush Champ called Asbo.
I love that.
And Sam, we have Asbo still. Well,
Dave,
did you interview him last year?
Dave, he was a rough interview. So.
To be fair, this is the happiest I've ever seen Sam, and I think it's all the transport from this episode.
So, our photographer Dave Neal went and met Asbo. We believe it was Asbo last year. Yeah. He met a dog that went to Crufts, and he's very convinced it was Asbo.
Asbo's a boxer by the look of it. But yeah, that was also on page 3. It was all going on page 3 in the Marx Independent of March 14th, 2013. The final story is a bit sad, actually. It was a collision of a Bentley and a horse, and the driver was fined.
I've just noticed at the top there, I hadn't noticed that. Prescription charge changes, page 3 as well.
How much was happening on page 3?
It's up above the masthead.
That was just the way we rolled in 2013. I was going to say to you, this is a stark contrast, though, Jess, to what we've been looking at. I mean, we've had a lot of papers from the 50s, when there's been about 9, so there are a dozen stories on the front page.
Yes.
We've actually only got one main story on the
front. Yeah, it's a lot easier to like take in, isn't it? Before it was like bombardment.
So yes, that was the news that was hitting the Manx Independent headlines in March 2013. How old was I then? 6 years, 29. What a time to be alive, eh? Right, Katie, Manx Word of the Week.
Yep, so last week it was a topical word because of the week we had, and it was Ben. And
is that the one with the silent D?
Well, I was trying to say, Sam told me to shut up yesterday. I'm sure it was you who said that.
It's quite offensive, Sam.
Because
I don't believe I would have said such things to Katie. I probably said something
You're
far,
so
far
worse.
You're
so mean to me every day.
I am not.
It
I
all
love...
comes out in the podcast. Yeah.
This isn't therapy, right?
I told you this morning, I was like so excited to wear my red jacket, and I got in and you're like, you look like a PE teacher.
That's oh. That could be taken as a compliment.
I followed it up by saying, no way, it's Sandy Toksvig. So...
This is what every 30-year-old wants to be told. You're resembling a small Danish
60-year-old.
Yeah, I
tell you, she's back, though. She's back, Sandy. She's probably, like, the most famous Danish person in the...
Host of QI.
Yeah, exactly. And she, did she do the Bake Off?
Just Bake Off, yeah.
I'd take that, Katie, to be honest.
You take being told you look like Sandy Toksvig. Right.
We had a mate that once had his hair cut, and I said he looked like Sandy Toksvig. He didn't like that.
Oh, you're cool. So mean to me. Anyway, yes, so Ben means woman.
Oh. So go on then, what would Ben McCree mean?
Ben McCree means woman or girl of my heart.
Oh.
I
quite
noticed
romantic.
In your Vox Pop, you asked what you think people should we should call this new vessel when we get it. And did you have any sensible suggestions?
Kingori 2.
Oh, this was... time it's personal.
Yeah. people watch Snaefell back. I don't know if people remember what last Snaefell was.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
It was the renamed Secret Isle of Man.
Oh,
when
that,
it came
of
back.
Of course, yes. Okay.
Anyway.
So we're not going to... That's been too recent,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't know what I'd call it. I couldn't.
No
I couldn't
one come up with Boaty McBoatface, no?
I had one suggest Gary McBoatface because his name was Gary.
Who's Gary? Who's Gary? Didn't we mention in the podcast a few weeks ago? Gary's are dying out, aren't they?
Hmm.
Yeah, so
what?
There's a lack of Garys at the moment.
Oh my god.
So
well, no one has a baby and calls it Gary anymore. That is true.
So I would be.
Can you imagine a baby holding it?
There was
one
actually.
Meet my son, Gary.
So there's one then that I actually did really like.
No
offense, Gary. It was Ilium Dome.
Ilium, that's quite a nice one. Yeah.
But my only thing is,
Fair Gary.
Yeah. Mm. I quite like Ilium Dome because it's like the rebel ship or something.
Katie, you got any suggestions? Because obviously you're our Manx linguist. Is there any one Manx words you think would fit nicely as a title of the new boat?
No, I'm sold on Gary now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Gary all the way.
Gary?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there we go. That's another problem we saw.
I'll get on to Mark Woodward at the steam packet tomorrow.
Yeah. Make sure you do. Right, so what's this week's word?
This week's word is connected to a story on the front page that we just went through. And I just thought you three could try and pronounce it because.
I love the fact that in our notes for this, you said, in my head it sounds like, rather than what it actually sounds like. Is this you setting us up for a fall when the Culture of Annan guys come on and it sounds
no,
nothing?
It's not. I don't know how to write the phonetics.
Right.
So this is my attempt at doing that with a lot of hyphens and.
Okay, right now, because you're such a good linguist, Jess, maybe you should crack on.
Okay. Okay, this is so much pressure. Farkiltoshi?
That's not bad. It'd be a little tentative. Now for our German listeners.
Farkiltoshi.
That was good, that.
That's not Manx, yeah.
Say what you see if you see it. Say it.
Right, Mr. Chips.
Your turn, then.
Farkiltoshi.
Yes, sir.
That sounds like a Pokemon or something.
Yeah.
Pokemon?
Yeah.
Farkiltoshi, I choose you!
Ooh. We're hitting all the demographics today, aren't we?
Well, we've got to catch them all.
Right, so...
sorry.
We'll have a listen to... Oh, no, are you going to have a crack now?
No, I'm sorry. I was just about to say, let's play the audio and I'll tell you what it means next week.
Okay, Culture Vannon. Maybe we can ask them to see what Pokemon means in Manx next week. But let's hear what Farkiltoshi should actually sound like.
Farkiltoshi.
Right, well, it's been a very interesting podcast, probably not for the right reasons, but there you go. Jess, have you got much on next week?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd keep up with the nautical theme.
Mm.
I did my Vox Pops, which is the public opinions when I go out to the street, and I asked people for their opinions on the Ramsey Bay Marina.
Ooh.
Mm, yeah. So,
did you go to Ramsey?
I did, yeah. Yeah, it was a lovely trip up north.
And did you just give it a taste? Was it for, against, or...?
A lot of people were quite positive, but there was one guy in particular who's staunchly against it. But you will find out more in the Examiner.
That's just out next week, Tuesday, with all being well. Katie, much to update us on?
Yep, so we have in the Independent, in this coming week, we have a Behind the Business feature, which is a 12-page broadsheet focusing on some Manx businesses.
I love a broadsheet.
Yeah, it's a good size. So that'll be available in the Independent on Thursday, and on our website you can download it there as well.
On the digital editions.
Yep, and...
What's happened to my voice?
Seek the Independent, you must.
Can I just say also, Storm Gareth has prevented a lot of newspapers getting to the island.
The Rotter.
Yep, but not Isle of Man newspapers.
No.
Because you will have noticed that the Isle of Man Examiner was in shops on Tuesday and has sold out across the island. Mm. So if you do want to get a copy of it, you can get it from the iomtoday.co.im website and go to digital editions.
My third favourite tab.
I thought it got promoted to second the other week.
No, I had to think about it again and thought, no, it's still third.
Reviewed it.
Yeah, I went home that night and looked at all the tabs and it's still my third favourite. Jess, if you want to get in touch this week and tell us how terrible this week's podcast has been, how can they do that?
Yep, they can go straight to our social media platforms, which is at IOM News Podcast. So that's Instagram and Twitter. Or they can maybe send us a letter if they want to. So they can send that to European House, well, Isle of Man Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM15ED.
Sorry, is he going to send us a letter?
I got a letter this week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who from?
I don't know. They didn't sign it.
We get letters all the time.
Yeah.
We do.
Are these letters where they've taken our front pages, cut out all the letters, and then re-put them in? Yeah.
Not had one of those yet.
I'm going to send you one, though.
I've had one then.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah.
What did it say?
I can't tell because it's still ongoing court.
I can't actually tell you. Shut up!
Yeah, it took the mick out of my photography skills. So Sam, what have you got on this week?
I've been speaking to Martin Perkins MHK about he's going to introduce a private members bill on
also,
open donation.
Mackle Tosser as well, wasn't he? In the pancake race with you, didn't he?
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
He was in that. But I've been down today and we've got the student protests on the environment and climate change, which I'm a little bit gutted about because I think it might have topped my tuition fees protest in 2013.
Did anyone have a placard that said down with this sort of
thing?
They
didn't, so it wasn't a real protest, but there we go. Yeah. You have to go for that, don't you? It's the classic. Maybe that's just us showing our age, though.
So when can people...
That'll be in the Examiner on Tuesday.
Right, well, I think that's about all for this week before my voice goes again. So, hopefully we're back next week. I wonder what next week's theme is going to be. We've had nauticals, we've had pancakes. Mm.
We'll have to wait
we'll have
and find
to see
out.
What makes the news next week, won't we?
Big mystery.
Until then.
Bye for now.